I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Surviving Sister Wives contains adult content that may not be suitable for Latter-day Saints or sinners. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello and welcome to Surviving Sister Wives.
I'm Corey.
And I'm Carly. And this is Seeking Sister Wife, Season 5, Episode 8, Seeking the Unexpected.
I guess that it was an unexpected crossover in some ways. Mostly for Danielle with two N's and two L's. The show Unexpected that you enjoy so much.
Oh,
yes.
You know what? That hasn't been on in a long time. When is it coming back, TLC? We need to know. The people need to know. We demand it. I demand my teenage pregnancy storylines. Although Danielle's is far from a teenage pregnancy.
It's kind of a teenage mentality. So
fair. They're still there.
It's not too
mentally
far off.
Stunted.
Yeah. But before we get into this week's episode, we had a couple of corrections from last week.
Y'all, I don't know. I can't explain what happened. I'm going to blame part of it on the fact that for some reason on the show, they like hate a lower third where they tell us what someone's name is, where people are located. We're taking notes. We're not always looking up. We missed, I guess, the first thing, the Salahuddins, who are, again, missing from the episode we're going to talk about today.
The storyline is sparse.
They are not, in fact, located in Atlanta. They are in somewhere in Pennsylvania.
Middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. And I guess I just didn't clock it for Pennsylvania because there wasn't any Bible-thumping billboards behind them at any point. So I think that kind of threw me for a loop.
Well, how about the fact that we just have barely seen them?
We've probably spent all of about 2 hours worth of actual filmed time with them. Maybe.
That's generous.
25 minutes. Well, I mean, like the time that they spent filming.
Oh, okay. And we've seen 3 minutes of it.
Basically, yeah. Over a couple of episodes, yeah. I think the wires got crossed in my brain. I don't know why I thought of this, but it was from Love on the Spectrum. Remember there was the one girl that we liked from season one where she was from Georgia, and then they didn't ask her to come back. For
Caitlin?
Season two, I think it was Caitlin.
Something like that.
And so they didn't ask her to come back for season two because they were like, oh, we don't have a crew near you for that. And she goes, oh, okay. And then they aired it and there was another family that was in Georgia that was not too far away. So she was like, oh, I guess they didn't want me around then. I don't know why those
two. How is that related?
I don't know why those things got crossed in my brain for absolutely no reason.
Okay. Well, that's the first thing. The second thing is the Merrifield family. I always want to call them Merricks, man.
Oh, because it's Garrick.
Garrick and Merrick.
Garrick Merrick. That would be quite a name, though.
Right. The confusing thing here, and the reason maybe why they're not showing the names of the brother-in-law and sister-in-law, and I'm saying that because they're Garrick's brother and sister-in-law, they're both named Sam. So there's not a whole lot to remember there.
Yeah, but Danielle's sibling is Guy Sam.
Apparently. Although Girl Sam speaks exactly like Danielle.
And if you go back, yeah, in this episode too, it is very apparent that it's like they're talking into a mirror.
Maybe it's because they've spent so much time together. She's like adapted to Danielle's way of speaking. The inflection, everything is identical. It's scary.
Very, very similar.
All right. Well, now that we've gotten that out of the way.
All right. Seeking the Unexpected episode description is the Ryans meet with a new potential sister wife. Shane Sherwood worries he'll lose Ashley to another woman. Nick Davis anxiously waits to see if his wives are ready to start dating. And after a month apart, Danielle calls Garrick with shocking news.
They really drummed that up to make it seem like it was going to be something much different than it was. But those of us who spend time on the internet have known that perhaps there was a baby Merrifield running around somewhere.
A baby Merrick looking to...
Baby Merrick Merrifield.
Spirit baby Merrick.
Well, are you ready to hear what really happened?
Let's hear it.
The Ryans resort to catfishing monogamous women. The Davises finally get Danielle's permission to start dating again. Garrick's bang trip gets interrupted by a blessing from God. Shane reveals his medical diagnosis.
Oh, boy.
Okay, I don't want to brag about being right about that, but...
It was terrible.
Something was off about their story, and we somehow sniffed it out.
Well, so maybe that was what it was. We had to have two mistakes on last week's episode, because then we were foretelling the future. That's the cost. Is that you can't be right about everything.
The little details get lost when we're predicting the future.
Yeah, that's what happens. It drains the powers.
All right, you want to start with the Merrifields and just get them out of the way?
For as much airtime as this story got, there wasn't really a whole lot that happened this week for them in particular.
Well, they have no more footage of them fighting together because they've been apart for about a month now.
So footage has dried up. We are in a drought of the Merrifield fighting that's going on here. Danielle is pretending to pack for Rio, even though she knows damn well she's not going.
Can we talk about the timeline here? So it has only been 2 months since they were in Mexico and they proposed to Roberta number two. It's been 2 months. Yet Garrick has already been gone for 6 weeks in Brazil.
So if you're doing the math on that, that's about a month and a half. So he waited 2 weeks after they got back from Mexico to then jet his way down to Brazil to be with Natalia for the rest of that time. He just had to get away from Danielle.
Okay, is this crazy? So within those few weeks, they had those fights that we saw that Danielle sent the footage in of where she's yelling at him about Roberta, number two, not responding to her.
That was why Garrick was like, I got to get out of here. I can't take this anymore.
Like, they're really giving no time to get to know this woman before they move ahead with things. I would be so shitty.
What I missed from last week, too, was when Danielle was screaming in the fight, because they, of course, had to show some of the footage from the fighting again, where she was talking about how, and I'm the evil one? So there's people who have been assigned in this relationship as evil ones?
I feel like the way Garrick talks about religion, that for sure he talks about things that Danielle does as evil. That's my guess.
Or evil spirits that are coming over her.
Well, we'll talk a lot about evil spirits in our Let's Talk About It this week.
Yeah.
So they really rushed things. They got back and right away he's on this trip in Brazil, spending more time with Natalia and then also planning their wedding, because they're supposed to cap off this trip with a wedding in Brazil so that they can go right ahead to filing for the visa to get Natalia to come to the U.S. And Danielle is supposed to travel to Brazil to be there for the wedding. Yet things have not been good between her and Garrick. Things have also not been good between her and Natalia. So she really doesn't feel like she's received a formal invite to this wedding.
Plus, she just doesn't want to go for other reasons that she hasn't divulged yet.
Right.
Is Zika still a thing down there that we have to be worried about if she's a pregnant woman going to Brazil?
Do you remember Zika?
Remember that? Pre-COVID.
Seems like something we didn't have to worry about for very long once COVID came around. Everyone stopped talking about Zika.
Different world, lifetime ago.
There are going to be some big changes around here That's all she's letting on to us, and then Sam comes over to help her pack while she sits on the bed, because she's not really invested in going on this trip.
And I hope Sam's not providing any of her own outfits.
Okay, what was she wearing?
she was all denimed up.
Yes, there was a wide shot, and I was like, wow, there's a lot going on here.
It wasn't the white stitch denim that Mary's accustomed to.
The early 2000s denim that Mary has never disposed of in her closet. It's time, Mary. It's time.
Worthy up on your closet organization.
So Sam's a little hesitant about this conversation because things have been really bad between Danielle and Garrick, and it seems like they dump all their shit on Sam and Sam. Like, Garrick was calling and being like, can I come sleep on your couch? In those few weeks between Mexico and Brazil, that's how bad things got. And so she's aware, and she's not really sure what Danielle's about to share with her.
Yeah, it seems like this is a big development in Danielle and Garrick's relationship that she's going to talk to Sam about, but that has nothing to do with Garrick. Well, I guess it kind of has something to do with Garrick. Hopefully it has something to do with Garrick. Maybe it has.
Maybe it does. I don't know.
But yeah, it seemed like they were building it as, oh, maybe Danielle's talking about her and Garrick have split. So Sam had no idea what to prepare for here. She did not prepare to hear a baby announcement based on the status of Danielle and Garrick's relationship.
No, and the way that Danielle reveals it is so weird. Where is this staged?
It seems staged.
Sam knew before, right? Because she doesn't even do a good job. It was very much a McKelty announcement.
Oh, by the way, pregnant. There's a baby. Just a heads up.
There's two.
Oh, yeah. That's another.
Although we did have to watch her announce that like five times, so.
Yeah, but at one point, it just kind of devolved to just mentioning it in passing. Oh, by the way, there's a baby. Okay, cool. All right.
Well, that's pretty much what Danielle does, where Sam like picks a dress out of her closet and she's like, I don't know if I can wear that while I'm pregnant.
It's too taboo.
In the next 2 days here. Because well, I mean, that's when the wedding is supposed to be this weekend.
You think of all the fights they were having, there had to be some angry makeup sex in between there, too.
I don't know. I feel like this happened like pre-Mexico trip.
That timeline doesn't add up.
Why? We don't know how pregnant she is.
Oh, that's true.
Unless she said it and I didn't take note.
Did she say? Was it 6 weeks? No, because six weeks
No, that's how long Garrick's been gone.
Yeah. She got rid of the other baby and now she's got another baby.
Garrick. Baby Garrick is gone.
Baby Garrick is down in Brazil.
He's left the cradle and it's time to fill it up with a new,
yeah,
new baby Merrifield. So this isn't great timing.
Well, and obviously this wasn't a planned pregnancy because Danielle
was it? Was it?
Okay.
Was it? I have to ask.
Not a shared level of planning that took place.
I'm just going to say Danielle has committed to getting rid of these women one by one, right? She was successful with Roberta number one, with bringing in the next person that they were going to date, and then she lost her shit, Roberta her. Is this how we get rid of Natalia? Is this a baby to save Garrick and Danielle's marriage?
Yeah, I think this was not a pregnancy that was planned at all by Garrick, but I feel like Danielle kind of had a hand in it.
Or is it truly a gift from God?
A blessing.
Danielle went into that garage. She spoke to God, and this is what he sent her.
Did she hear the whispers in the wind? Maybe. Did the sperm from her brain trickle down?
Never forget.
A trickle-down pregnancy? I guess that could be a thing.
So now she's dealing with the fact that she's pregnant. She hasn't told Garrick yet. Things have been really shitty between them. She's worried that he might not even come back from Brazil and she'll be a single mom. And the wedding is coming up very fast. It's supposed to be this weekend and she doesn't want to go. There's a lot on Danielle's plate right now.
She's not even sure how Garrick is going to respond to the baby news too, because she knows that Garrick isn't too pleased with Danielle right now either. So why would he be happy about this?
Well, it's really getting in the way of his relationship with Natalia, right? This baby I'm going to have to take care of. I'm going to have to worry about you and spend time with you and come back to the U.S.
And your feelings. I'm going to have to take that into consideration or pretend to take that into consideration again.
It's just like really inconvenient timing.
Can we talk about the sign in their house that they keep cutting to as well that has the typo on it?
Oh, is this the one in front of their closet?
It's the one that's... Oh, no, that's their wedding one. So that actually had the date of their wedding in mid-June.
No, what is this other one?
The one with the letter boards that it says angered at the end, but
I
there's
kiss
not
better a, than I cook.
Yeah, almost kind of like that. So it's yeah, it just it bothers me every time they cut to it because I think they picked a Bible verse that had a bunch of E's in it. Too many E's, more E's than they had in the build your word. It's like a little Scrabble board.
Oh. Oh.
Where you're in the little felt board where you're pushing
yeah,
the...
Yeah, this was handmade.
Yeah, but it's angered, and it's there's no ED at the end of it there. It's just a D. Anger D.
Garrick is a fan of just the D.
Oh, boy. So what, we've got Danielle calling Garrick. She's going to spring this on him now?
This is the same day.
I feel like this conversation happened... Did it happen before her conversation with Sam? Because she was very sad when she was talking to Sam. So did she have to pretend and set it up?
Maybe.
Like Garrick still didn't know? I feel like her conversation with Sam happened after. She was very deflated. But we get to see this. So she calls him up. There's some BS chit-chat about wedding planning, about how Natalia's out wedding dress shopping. I'm surprised Garrick wasn't picking the dress.
Well, he just got back from the beach. So he's living... You know, the life in Brazil, going to the beach, waiting for his new hot wife to get back from wedding dress shopping. And Danielle is sitting on the bed, pregnant at home, knowing that this news is going to be like a lead balloon.
This is where Danielle's telling Garrick she doesn't really want to be there. I know that you're still waiting on the paperwork to get your date assigned for when this wedding is actually going to happen. If it's this weekend, maybe it's in a couple of days. But Danielle really doesn't feel comfortable being there because she's on kind of a rocky terrain with Garrick and Natalia. So why would she go and be the third wheel in a room with people that don't want her to be there?
He doesn't respond to the fact that she can't come because of what's going on with her and Natalia. That didn't have enough impact. So I feel like she saw her opening and she was like, all right, here it is. I'm going to drop the bomb. She's like, well, it's not the only reason I can't come. I'm pregnant.
Maybe was that just her way at first to say that she wasn't going to come to see what Garrick's reaction
yes,
would be?
Yes, I think that's what she was trying to do. She wanted him to plead about, like, can you come? Will you come? Why aren't you going to? And then he didn't say anything. He just seemed like he was fine with it. And then she was like, all right, well, I guess I have to tell him now the other part of it.
Well, here's some... good news that doesn't really feel like good news. There was some editing here for drama purposes because the first reaction shot of Garrick that they pumped in there was just a blank stare.
Yeah.
And I think that one was additional. But cutting to his actual reaction, it was still bad because it was still staring blankly at her and just going,
it was a lot of long blinks, but that's kind of like his default, isn't it?
Yeah, he gets deer in the headlights. He kind of locks up, freezes up sometimes, especially if his CPU is overworking there a little bit.
You could tell he didn't know what to think. He was overwhelmed.
So he diverted back to his Bible assigned programmed verses that he can go to, which children are a blessing from God. And that's what he has to reinforce here at this point because he has nothing else to contribute.
It was one of the worst reactions to a pregnancy announcement that I've ever seen on TV.
Taking out the edited one, that extra shot that was between them, even if it just went straight to that, it was terrible reaction.
But it got worse from there because then she's talking about how she's not going to come and he's like, yeah, well, I kind of agree that, you know, you'll be like a third wheel in the background.
Well, yeah, because like, yeah, you probably will.
He doesn't try to make her feel better about it at all.
Or included or...
No, and then he makes it about Natalia where he's like, well, if you don't come, it'll probably hurt her feelings.
The guilting of Danielle, which then at that point, yeah, it's just, all right, well, then just focus on the baby.
That's the part where I was like, oh, he's got Natalia and this is your thing.
Yeah.
The baby's yours to find a source of joy from.
And I think that was when Danielle realized, uh-oh, because she thought this was going to pull Garrick back to her. And clearly it did not, because now, yeah, the baby is yours and Natalia is mine from Garrick's perspective. I think she's realizing the plan kind of fell apart here.
Well, she is going to go to Brazil. We see that in the teaser for next week's episode. So there will be, I'm sure, a lot more drama to ensue. Do you think it was weird that she didn't tell Natalia also?
Yeah, she just doesn't pick up her calls anymore. She doesn't respond to texts. She doesn't do anything. There's no communication between them. The sister communication has broken down.
It's true. I get that they're in a weird spot with each other. Like, all of them are in a weird spot. But this was far from a Brown family baby announcement where we gather everyone together and they hear the news at the same time.
I don't think Natalia... Well, I feel like Danielle would want Natalia to know. She wants to see Natalia's reaction because maybe it'll freak her out. Maybe it will upset her. And Danielle needs to get a read on that because clearly this backfired in what she thought it was going to draw Garrick back to her, but that is not the case.
Oh, she can't wait. She cannot wait to land in Rio. It's Rio, right? Where they're going. And then talk about the baby to Natalia and overshadow the wedding. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I'm so excited.
She's learning all of the Portuguese vocabulary for babies.
just the baby related words. Stuff.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
All right, we got a flyby family for this week because it's the Davises, where they are just repeating the same information over and over on a weekly basis, but they only get one clip this week.
I cannot handle what's going on here. I don't know how they made this season. Between the Davises and the Salahuddins providing like almost nothing. And so here we are watching the Davis family again talk about dating.
Well, they're also cremating marshmallows in their backyard.
What was that? I understand some people like a little bit of a char.
Allegedly, they're making s'mores.
It looked like a piece of coal by the time she was done, though.
It was, I mean, obliterated. Yeah, this was, even like on the inside of it was burned, too, when she bit into it a little bit. It soaked in.
Look, did it make me want s'mores any less? No.
Yeah.
I still wanted to make s'mores after this. But, I mean, this sounds fun. S'mores and wine in the backyard. Why are we going to disrupt things? This is going well.
Well, a lot of things went well. The rage room went well. The lunch afterwards, they claim. So, do you think Danielle actually wore that shirt to the rage room? She kept her jacket on.
Maybe they went home and changed. I feel like after the rage room, you would need a shower.
Right? Yeah. It's like
you're a little sweaty.
Have an intermission.
Things.
Yeah, it's break it up and kind of take a break there, a little mood shift.
I would be hungry, though, exerting a lot of calories.
So the general basis of this conversation is they're excited now. They've convinced Danielle to jump back into dating. And so now they're all telling Nick together that they're ready to start dating again. But you can tell when Nick asks Danielle directly in front of the group, are you sure you want to pursue this? And she is clutching that glass like she's going to shatter it in the rage room.
She has both her hands clutched around the top of the wine glass.
And she's just staring intently at the fire and is like, yeah, yeah, let's do that. That sounds good.
She does have a caveat, though, where she's like, this is what would make me feel better about it. We need to have family check-ins where we talk before the date, after the date. That's what's going to make me feel better about the whole thing.
Family meetings?
Yes, more family meetings. Frequent family meetings.
Consistently. We need to have more.
Which is helpful if people are actually going to share their real feelings during these meetings.
I think that's the hard part, is if we're just going to bulldoze over Danielle's feelings at the family meetings, that's where the problems are going to be.
That's what they've kind of, it sounds like, have done in the past, or how she's felt about it. So TBD on how well those check-ins are going to go.
Yeah, but they're going to fire up their dating profiles. See what I did there?
Is that a marshmallow joke?
It's a marshmallow joke.
Okay. How many dating profiles do you think they have?
4, 5, 10. They'll have to ask Garrick for a few recommendations.
And Becky and Justin Ryan, because they're back in the dating game. And apparently, it's very, very competitive on these polygamist apps. The ratio of women available to families looking, very off.
Really?
That's what he said. That's what Justin...
Well, yeah, but like, do we think that... Because can we show Garrick some of that data that's been
gathered? Saying maybe that backs up why Garrick has so many dating profiles.
He's got to be out there. I feel like with Justin and Becky activating their dating profiles again, I feel like there needed to be public alerts, service announcements that needed to take place. They had to check in with somebody to say that they're back out there.
People should be warned.
Yeah, like we need to warn the public about this.
They're also moving fast, and I don't know if that's truly because they want to continue seeking a sister wife or because they're filming a show. And now that Stephanie wants nothing to do with them, they're kind of out of content.
They were really banking on backing Stephanie into a corner and forcing her to be part of this show, but she stood her ground. So they got to go a different route now. They got to start tricking people into polygamy.
I cannot wait to talk about this because my jaw hit the ground.
During the haircut?
You know, I don't know if I even noticed the before and after of the haircut. Did it make a difference?
No, he looks the same. Okay. Yeah, he looked exactly the same, which made this feel even more staged because this just so happened to be a barber who's also a polygamist that they happened to be talking to about all this polygamy dating stuff.
They're trying to force conversation because I don't think Becky and Justin have any friends.
Yeah, except for the kids, but the kids don't want to be on the show either.
There's zero people who want to be on the show with them.
Yeah, nobody can vouch for them. Nobody wants to be associated in any way.
So they're going to this barbershop. Justin's getting cleaned up. He's getting a haircut. He's going on another date tonight. And that's when they reveal to us that he's already been on a date with a woman named Yari.
Could this be Mary in an alternate universe?
Why? Do you think they looked alike? Or just the catfishing element?
I feel like the catfishing element is part of it. And then, yeah, just general vibe, just energy. Some of the photos, I think, is what threw me off, too.
Did she have a banana photo?
No bananas were visible on her dating profile.
Or just that she was so easily tricked.
Yeah, probably that.
Because they went on a date together, right? I guess it was like a screening date from Justin's perspective. And what he learned, or at least what he claims, is that Yari didn't really read his profile very well. Because she did not realize that she was on a date with the man who was looking for a second wife. And he did not enlighten her to that fact until the end of the date.
So this makes me think that Justin probably wasn't as upfront about the polygamy aspect, especially when you're coordinating a date. Maybe that's something to check in on initially. I think that's all information that he withheld, went on one date with her, it went okay, and so then he sprung that on her.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. Because he went on a regular dating app instead of a dating app where people were looking to be in polygamous relationships. So this wasn't something that was on her radar. And you would think before you go on a date with someone that maybe you just double check that they're okay with that. And that's the problem that I had with it, is that maybe this person morally would be upset about having gone on a date with someone who was married, or would have felt like they wasted their time going on a date with someone who they would never consider being in a relationship with. I don't like or trust Justin and Becky.
Yeah, and I don't think that they were upfront about this. It was buried down at the bottom of the profile, if it was even in there, and it was incredibly vague.
You think they hit the space bar 1,500 times, and then it was like just down at the bottom?
Yeah, 0.6 size font, little disclaimer down at the bottom. So now that Justin's had a haircut, they're date prepping. He's getting dressed up. This is date number two that he's going
to
go on.
Wait, do you want to talk about the barber a little bit? Because I thought the interaction was weird.
It was fake. It was staged.
Well, yeah. But also Becky's reaction, I felt like she seemed uncomfortable when he started talking about the fact that he has two partners. And she was like, wow, like there's other people out there. It's not that strange that like we're in a relationship with multiple people.
Well, why was polygamy strange for this polygamist?
Which one?
Yeah.
I'm confused. There's too many polygamists in this room together.
Well, yeah, because why was Becky so uncomfortable with this?
Well, because this wasn't like a white, straight, Christian polygamist.
It's not Christian. Yeah, I think that
it's not Christian.
That was the issue that she was having here.
Never forget that woman. Oh, she's on TikTok now. Check her out.
No, don't. But so, okay, what's Justin doing getting ready for the date? He's pulling his socks way, way up.
I didn't take note of that.
I think that was one thing.
Was he wearing shorts or did he wear pants?
I think he had pants.
Okay. Well, at least we didn't have to see the socks.
Yeah, I think he was struggling with his shoes for quite a bit of time here.
Well, he is getting older. It gets harder to put your shoes on when you're pregnant and as you get older.
Well,
Danielle will know soon.
Yeah, I don't think he's pregnant on this one. But what he is doing is he's making fun of Yari for not wanting him to pick her up from her house for a date. He was mocking her for choosing
safety first.
Safety over, because if there's anybody that you don't want picking you up from your house, it's these fucking people.
No, don't let them put your address in their GPS. No. They're saving it.
Do not do that.
They're coming back later.
So Yari knows. She didn't even see the episode yet of Becky running up and peeking through garage windows, but she was probably getting that vibe. She's like, I don't need to be associated
with
this.
Why do you think Becky didn't go on the date?
Because she was trying to snoop around.
She's busy snooping around Yari's house.
Yeah, that's exactly what it would be.
She's breaking and entering.
But she's also laying down the ground rules ahead of time, too. There's no smexy times that's going to come from this. Maybe a little kiss and here and there. But we're not going to make the same mistake like we did with Stephanie, where we went a little too far. Maybe the same mistake with Roberta and Natalia that we've had as well, too, where you kind of jump in.
Dick first.
And then you got problems.
Well, he's already thinking like that, too, because we find out about how they found Yari. I guess Becky did. She was the one who saw the profile and was like, this is the woman for Justin. She also likes to work out. Is that his only personality trait? Because this is the second time it's come up.
Well, we find out a little bit about his preferred type, which is Arabic / Latina women.
People who are not Becky.
In gyms.
In gyms.
Specifically. So like that's the other part of it that's very definitive for him. Because at first, all we knew were gyms. But now he's narrowed it down a little bit more in kind of a racist way.
Why doesn't he just find a woman at a gym instead of on a dating app?
How many women do you know want to talk to men at gyms?
None, but none men women. Try to talk to a lot of women at gyms.
Oh, it's terrible.
This is a common problem. He would just be adding to it.
They've probably had their Planet Fitness membership revoked for years now. Because
you're probably right. They're banned from every gym within 10 miles of Salina, Texas, because they approach women on a regular basis.
That's why they had to drive 12 hours to Stephanie's gym and they were allowed to set foot into that Orange Theory Fitness.
Who was changing their rules very quickly. So we're not going to let the slut Stephanie ruin this again. We're not going to make the same mistakes. We're going to stay chaste for a while in this relationship.
We'll see how long it lasts. Yeah, let's see. But Becky's still giving great advice, too, about make sure you pull out the chair for her. Well, pull out in general. Yeah, just more, you know, we were talking about sex.
That's a new rule.
It's been an established rule for quite some time. But maybe let's apply the pull-out method to the dating as well of pull out the chair for her when she goes to sit down, which
misfires.
Justin promptly did not do. He just kind of pointed at the chair.
Here, this is where you will sit.
Well, because I think she was going to sit down in his seat, but he already had his cell phone on that side of the table there. So he was directing her over to the other side of the table instead.
plus, he's claimed the spot.
I was going to say, plus that's where he has a motorized blow dart machine to tranquilize her. It's lined up with that chair.
It's under the table.
Yeah, it's for that chair specifically. You need to sit in this chair.
Oh, God. This was a really weird date, wasn't it? Because they don't really seem to know very basic things about each other, but they already went on a date. So what did they talk about the whole time?
Maybe they don't want to talk about stuff on camera. And maybe that was the main point of the first date, was to kind of suss out if she would be okay dating on camera too.
Okay, but then they don't know things about each other, like if they have kids. She doesn't know how long he's been with Becky.
So maybe they did have those conversations in the first one, and then now they're just repeating it. This is the stuff that they're comfortable talking about on camera?
I don't think so. I think that they talked about everything but actually getting to know about each other's lives. And then at the end, like as they were walking to their cars, he dropped the polygamous thing on her.
Yeah, it was like, so how long have you been Arabic/Latina? Like, that's what Justin's wondering.
I feel like he had a lot of dirty conversations. That's what he asked about. Wants to know what she's into. He's gross. I'm going to put it out there. That's what I think happened.
His lips make me uncomfortable.
Yes. Same.
I don't know if he just like, if he purses them in a certain way. I don't know what it is. There's something about.
There's something about his whole face. The face. He just looks dangerous, doesn't he?
There's like a threat that I can't assess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like he's going to eat me.
Well, ooh.
No, not like that. Well, yeah. No, but like, I feel like. There's danger in his mouth. So I don't know. That probably says more about me.
I don't know. Yari's not picking up on any signs of danger because she stays the whole date.
She's answering his questions truthfully and honestly, which, again, it's kind of scary. You need to make up some stuff and divert and deflect.
She asks some valid questions. Like, how is this going to work? You asked me if I'm okay being in a relationship with you and your wife, but are we going to go on dates together, or is she just okay with me going on dates with you and we don't really have a relationship with her? Explain, please. Elaborate.
I don't think that's really been established. So kind of loosey-goosey, whatever.
He doesn't know what to tell her.
No, yeah, it's, I don't know. Both and either or. Whatever you're good with. Whatever gets a third date.
What is the answer you would like?
That's what the answer will be.
Definitely.
It's working.
That, and he has to run it by Becky because Becky's changing the rules up on him 5 minutes before he goes on the date.
Yeah, he wasn't ready to keep it in his pants tonight until he had the prep talk with Becky here before the date. So he was already downshifting from the moment he got here.
I guess it went well because, well, did it? Because they go to say goodbye. And he is definitely leaning in for a kiss.
Okay. Well, and just the transitions that took place on this date, from they had finished eating, then there was no mishap at the table because there's too many witnesses. So Justin has to ask her, do you want to just go back to your car or do you want to go on a little walk? Maybe.
Don't go to another location.
Yeah, do not let him take you to a second location. It's dark out now. The sun has set.
We're not in a well-lit area.
God knows what he's going to do with you.
I wouldn't even let him see what car I was in.
It's scary. Yeah, he's going to jot down the license plate. So they do go for a little walk.
They're on some kind of bridge, right?
Against her better judgment, because I think she regrets it immediately.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Well, I guess she didn't really indicate that it went well, because he's trying to go in for a kiss, and she tells him, thank you for your time. I didn't know if she was just nervous and didn't know what to say or if it truly went that badly. Because if someone tells you thank you for your time at the end of the date, I would just delete their number and know it's probably not going to happen again.
It's not good.
No.
I mean, we do have English as a second language thing. Is that part of this maybe?
But she goes in for the kiss after she realizes what's happening.
Yeah. So there is a little smoochy. No tongue, just smooch.
He makes sure to make that clear.
He had to say it so the cameras hear it, so that Becky in the cheater's van who's watching the live footage of the camera feed. And listening to the audio live in person here.
Or was that the cue so Becky knew to get out of her place because she's busy doing a B&E?
That is the buzzword. Yeah, that's the alert, the code phrase to wrap up what you're doing and get the hell out of there.
Do you think we're going to see her again? Or do you think she's going to ghost them?
I don't think they're ever going to be able to find her body.
Oh, no. Yari, we hope you're still out there.
Yari, please let us know you're okay.
That leaves us with the Sherwoods. Yeah. This is like a really depressing story this week. I don't really know how we make this more fun.
Yeah, this was a sad one.
So Shane gave us that little hint last week that there was something medical going on, right? But he didn't tell us much more than that. It was like a very passing comment. And now he goes out to a bar with his friend Charlie, and that's where we find out the truth of the situation.
And Charlie is a friend that Shane has made through axe throwing. Now they are going to be throwing some darts. They're always throwing something out there, throwing something against the wall.
Beer pong, that's also, you know, they're throwing stuff. Tossing.
Yeah. But basically, Shane's trying to get Charlie caught up on this whole Sarah situation, the dating situation that they've found themselves in more recently here, because it's been a while since they've hung out.
He told him that he didn't get a good feeling from Sarah when they were on that date.
I like the way that Shane explained it, though, because that was where he was getting a feeling. But I think he was assigning a lot of his own personal reactions to things onto Sarah as the cause of me feeling this way. So I think some of that got some wires crossed, because he was talking about how this was the first time that he had ever seen Ashley flirting with someone in front of him. So I feel like that could be hard just in and of itself. And so then to kind of blame Sarah for that.
Maybe they should have had this conversation before they went on a date. Like just a phone conversation. No, you don't agree?
Wait, whose phone conversation?
No, not him and Charlie, him and Sarah, okay. Where they talked about like what her past experience was, what they were mutually looking for. Because like you're saying, I feel like there were other feelings already before they sat down and had that conversation that maybe influenced how he felt about her answers.
Or having exposure to Ashley kind of flirting and like speed dating together or something, where he can kind of see what that interaction is like and kind of process through those feelings a little bit more. Because I feel like he took some of that and then applied it to the rest of their conversation, which wasn't necessarily very fair on his assessment of Sarah in particular.
Right, so maybe if you like are already not feeling great about things, you don't have a heavy conversation.
Yeah. Don't go right in. Yeah, but he was the one instigating that conversation too. He really wanted to get into that.
He still seems really worried that she may not be looking for the same thing that they're looking for, which I feel like she tried to combat in the conversation they had.
She did a good job with explaining that those were past relationships. That's not this current relationship. I'm getting confused because, again, even on his explanation here, he's kind of complaining about Sarah being apprehensive about not wanting to get to know them, but also she's not taking an initiative. So it's kind of she's damned if you do, damned if you don't at some points.
Yeah. And a lot of this goes back to how quickly they want to move, which has been the confusing part of this for a lot of us, because it seems like he has a lot of negatives against everyone they meet, yet they're really trying to rush the other person into committing to a serious relationship with them.
So as Shane is talking through this a little bit more with Charlie, he's starting to realize, too, he has very high standards for Ashley because he wants to make sure that she's set up and taken care of, because we find out about Shane's medical concerns here.
The way he positioned this, if you'll remember, I had a touch of cancer.
To say that he's minimizing it is minimizing
it. When was the last time we heard that?
Oh my goodness.
Truly has a touch of flu.
What?
It gave me PTSD.
So the scary part here is that Shane has been delaying some follow-up scans because he basically had cancer in his kidney that was treated surgically, but then there were other parts on his other kidney that were coming back where they said, hey, you need to come in for a checkup 6 months after this surgery. So that way we can make sure, because it's in remission technically, but we need to keep an eye on this. So now he's been delaying the medical follow-ups here.
Well, they have a lot going on in their lives, right? Ashley's pregnant.
Yeah.
I guess I could understand the fear of receiving bad news as you're supposed to be enjoying something like the birth of a baby. So I think that's part of it. And I think that maybe this dating stuff is a little bit of a distraction for them.
whether they know it or not, because it's also, it's taking care of another concern at the same time too, because that's what Shane's whole thing is. He needs to make sure that Ashley's taken care of.
And that's part of the reason why they're doing this, because his friend kind of asks, right? Like, is that the reason why you're looking for a sister? I feel like, no, I mean, we were looking for one before any of this ever happened, but it's adding to the urgency of the situation.
And that's where it gets confusing. Yeah, because then there is a level of urgency with all of this other stuff that's mixed in, that's going on in their lives, where it just gets very complicated very quickly.
It just became very clear as to why they were cast on this show, right? Because now this is a much more compelling story. It didn't really make a whole lot of sense at first. It's a heavy story about part of their intentions behind finding a sister wife. But also, I feel like we need to talk to Sarah more and the other people that they're dating, because this is a lot to present to another person. And we don't know if Sarah's even aware of that yet, because they're asking this other person who comes into this relationship to get to know Shane, to have a relationship with him, to have children with him. And they're also going to have to reveal that he has this diagnosis. And he seems to have a very negative outlook about how things are going to go in the long run.
Yeah, because he's basically saying it's in remission now, but it will be back at some point. And usually when it comes back, it's not better.
Again, this is very depressing.
Well, and this is a lot. This is a lot to carry. And clearly we see Shane has been bottling up a lot of this, because he kind of breaks down in his conversation with Charlie. And Charlie's a good supportive friend for this conversation, where he's reassuring and letting him know, yeah, if you ever need to talk about this stuff, obviously you have Ashley as your partner. But if there are frustrations or concerns and other things, or it seems like Shane is going through the whole issue too, where he doesn't want to burden Ashley with any of the stuff that he's dealing with.
Well, I'm sure he doesn't want to stress her out while she's pregnant.
He doesn't want to stress her out. She's going through pregnancy at this point and the complications of dating and everything that they're dealing with here. But the way he told Charlie too, that he's scared and he doesn't want to be weak for Ashley. So that was a sad way to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
Too, it kind of shed light on the stigma of it too, because he even mentions when he talks with Ashley the next day about how he'd never cried in front of another man before. So that's sad stuff too for me personally, because it's like, how do you not have those support systems that you can have that? But it's not something that's readily available in most relationships, especially between grown men.
That is true. There was a lot in this episode. Like, you can't make fun of it. Like, these are all like really serious conversations.
I will make fun of one part.
Okay.
When it was too much for Shane and he kind of just ran out of the bar. He was like, I have to go. And he just left the bar. And that was the end of the scene. I was like, dear God, I hope he comes back. I hope he came back at some point, because Charlie was just kind of like, oh, okay, do what you got to do, man. But I hope Shane didn't just run to his car and leave and go home in that distressed state. It seemed like he just kind of stormed out of there.
I don't think that Charlie would have a problem with picking up the tab.
Well, yeah, I think Charlie would pick up the tab, but I would be more concerned about Shane just leaving.
Jetting off.
In that state and then, yeah, trying to drive home and whatever. So at least they hugged it out a little bit. But yeah, that was like too much for Shane. And he had to get out of there, but it seemed very abrupt from the editing standpoint.
So the next day, like you said, that he tells Ashley what happened when he hung out with Charlie the night before. And then he does finally commit to the fact that he's going to go get this scan done. He's been putting it off. He knows that he shouldn't, so he's going to go do it. They have a lot going on in their lives right now. They both kind of acknowledge that.
The dating, the pregnancy, they have a baby who's growing into a toddler and getting more mobile now. They have cancer in remission. So there's a ton of things that are going on.
But where we're leaving off with dating is he's kind of worried that Ashley is a little bit too optimistic about Sarah a little bit too soon here.
Yeah, he's hoping to check some of that optimism a little bit and maybe have continued conversations with Sarah to see if he can get a better read on it here. But I still feel like he's approaching this in kind of a closed off way with Sarah, where he had a what was perceived as a bad interaction with her, and he attributed it to her, but I don't think that all of that came from her.
I just don't know if this is a great time for them to be looking for another person to be part of their relationship. It seems like Shane has held back from sharing much of his emotions about the situation with the cancer with Ashley. And maybe it would be even harder to have Ashley split her time between you and another person as you're going through this. And that is where we leave everyone this episode. Next week, Danielle arrives in Brazil to attend Garrick and Natalia's wedding. The Sherwoods ask potential sister wife Sarah to be exclusive. April Davis has a tough conversation with her brother. The Salahuddins get advice from another polygamist couple.
So will Danielle technically be crashing this wedding?
I hope so. The Salahuddins are just going to have a dinner with someone and talk again?
We're learning the differences between polygamy and polygyny again, definitively. It's a vocabulary lesson more than anything.
Oh, was that part of the conversation? I already blocked it out.
It was, polygyny.
So we're just talking about dating again.
We're just talking about dating, talking about multiple partners, because we can't actually find anybody. It's tough out there.
Alexis was definitely a plant from Central Casting.
Well, yeah, it's really hard, especially when you're looking for a carbon copy of your existing wife. Very difficult to find.
Thank you for listening. If you want to support us, the best way to do that is by subscribing to the podcast or leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
Be sure to chat with us about the episode on our Discord channel by joining our Patreon, patreon.com/survivingpod.
Stay tuned, share with friends. See you next time.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.